God speaks to man in creative ways to reveal himself and his majesty. And all history is his story, isn't it? It's a demonstration of who he is, and it's a message from the Most High God. And so today I want to talk to you about Daniel chapter 5 and the handwriting on the wall. It's one of those passages where we find actually phrases that you go, I didn't know that came from the Bible, but it did. And this story comes to us from Babylon. And Babylon was an amazing city, huge, 196 square miles. That would be four San Franciscos fit within its walls. All right? It had the seventh wonder of the world, the Hanging Gardens, which stood 40 feet high in multiple platforms. And then it had the Ishtar Gate. This was the small gate. This gate here was 47 feet high, 100 feet wide, and 25 feet thick. And it was made out of blue stone. It's called Ishtar. There was 54 miles of wall around Babylon. It was considered undefeatable. There was one wall on the outside, and then there was another wall on the inside. In fact, it was wide enough on top for a two-lane highway all the way around. And so in the fall of 539 BC, Cyrus had organized the Medes and the Persians and had decided to come down and to attack Babylon. And inside Babylon, Belshazzar, the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, was having a feast of a party to show them that he had no concern whatsoever with their military attack against him. But they rested there within the city where the great river Euphrates flowed right under the wall, and they had iron gates that would come down and block any possible entry through the river as well. And so there they were celebrating. And that's where we find this story. Belshazzar called together a feast. He brought in 1,000 of his nobles, and they gathered together and they began to drink wine. And at some point in the feast, Belshazzar decided that the other gods had been lined up to worship Marmaduke, but there was no god brought from the God of Israel's territory, so they decided they would drink out of the vessels that had been gathered from the temple in Jerusalem. And so they brought those there. And when they brought them there, his nobles, his wives, and his concubines drank wine from the vessels of God's temple. And they praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze and wood and stone. And as this drunken orgy was going on, just over here to the left of Belshazzar's seat in the palace, all of a sudden fingers appeared and began writing clearly upon the plaster of the wall a message. And Belshazzar looked at that as it was beginning to be written down, and it says his hips grew slack, his knees were slapping together, and he couldn't figure out what was going on. And so he did what any king would do, and he says, bring the wise men! Tell me what that says. If you can tell me what that says, I will make you a third ruler in the kingdom. O king, we have no answer. We can't even read it. And then he was even more afraid. And then the nobles were perplexed. No one understood what was going to happen. And then came in the queen mom. Tsar, what's this I hear about handwriting on the wall? Have you been drinking again? Look at that inscription. What does that say?
I don't know, Mom. No one knows.
Oh! When your grandfather was in power, he had a man that came from Judah. The spirit of the holy gods was in him. He could solve enigmas. He could understand dreams and interpret them. And remember the episode that Nebuchadnezzar had? Yes, he foretold that and explained exactly what was going to happen. And that's what happened. And Nebuchadnezzar was wise. He made him the ruler of all the magicians and all the wise men. You should call him. Daniel was his name. Daniel would know what to do.
Daniel was brought before the king.
Are you Daniel, the man my grandfather Nebuchadnezzar captured in Israel?
Yes, I am.
I have heard of you. I understand that you are capable of interpreting dreams and that you have solved mysteries under Nebuchadnezzar. Now, I have a mystery. We have this inscription upon the wall, and if you are able to read it and to give me the interpretation, I will make you a third ruler in the kingdom. I will give you a chain of gold, and you will have a place of honor. What do you say? You may keep your gifts, or you can give them to somebody else. However, I will make the inscription known to the king. O king, the Most High God granted sovereignty and glory and grandeur and majesty to Nebuchadnezzar. And because of the grandeur that was bestowed upon him, he was a ruler over all nations and all peoples and every language. If somebody wanted to be put down, he put them down. If somebody needed to be raised up, he raised them up. If he decided he wanted them to live, they lived. If he decided he wanted them killed, they were killed. But when his heart was lifted up in pride, he was deposed from his throne. And he was driven away, and he lived with those wild donkeys in the field. And you knew that. And he lived there until he discovered that the Most High God is the ruler over the realm of mankind, and he sets over it whomever he wishes. And yet you, his son, grandson, Belshazzar, you knew all of this, and you have not humbled yourself. You have exalted yourself against the God of heaven. And you have gathered his vessels into this palace, you and your nobles, your wives, your concubines, and you've drank from them. And you've praised the gods of silver and of gold and of bronze and of wood and of stone. And yet the God in whose hand your life is held and who knows all your ways, you have not glorified.
Now the hand that wrote on this wall is from God Most High. And this is what it says, O King. Mene, mene, tekel, euphason. And this is the interpretation, O King. God has numbered your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel means you have been weighed in the scales and you have been found deficient. Peres, your kingdom has been divided. It's been given over to the Medes and the Persians. That's all the inscription says, O King. You heard him. Take him away and honor him as is appropriate. He has fulfilled what I have asked of him. And Daniel was made that night a third ruler in the kingdom. And as Daniel was leaving the room, soldiers of the Babylonian army came running in and says, the Euphrates River has dried up. And the Medes and the Persians have entered through the gate under the wall. The city has been taken. And before Belshazzar could leave the palace, he was slain that night. And Cyrus the Great appointed Darius to rule from Babylon, and he became king at age 62. Because the Most High God is the ruler over the realm of mankind. And he sets over it whomever he wishes. And for us, there is a lesson, friends. The handwriting is already on the wall. God's judgment comes. His word has declared it. Do you get it? People who exalt themselves against God will be humbled. That is the fact of Scripture, and that is the record of history from generation to generation, from Genesis to Revelation. If you exalt yourself against the Most High God, you will experience His discipline. Here is what the writing on the wall says. Would you read it with me? He gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That's the writing on the wall. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And when we hear a verse like that, if you're anything like me, your mind says something like this. I'm not proud. I'm not that proud. And I certainly don't praise the idols of silver or gold or bronze or wood or stone. Unless, of course, perhaps you've read a verse in Scripture that says, consider yourselves dead to immorality, impurity, sensuality, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. Of course, we don't have any of that immorality, impurity, and greed in an American culture, do we? We will shout our praise for a football team and whisper our words on a Sunday morning. We will brag about our hunting prowess and not speak about our Savior and His grace. Do you see God for who He is? Do you recognize the God who is Most High? I dare you to ask Him a question.
ask him a question that I've been asking myself. God, how proud am I? Could you say that to him this morning? God, how proud am I? Have you tried that on? God, how proud am I? I was meeting with a personal coach a couple weeks ago and talking to him about some of the things that I've been learning and asking him some questions about issues in my life and letting him ask me questions back. And one of the things I was discussing with him was the fact that I am quite prone to speak quick. And I've memorized numerous verses of Scripture about that. And yet, as I sat there and discussed it, the implications of why a person is prone to speak quick was not very comfortable. You see, I tend to think extremely highly of my own opinions, or I wouldn't hold them. Isn't that right? Don't you? You think you're right because you think you're right. And if it's a good opinion and I'm right, then I'm quick to tell somebody about it because they need to know what the truth is. And I know it. And that's called pride. And I begin bringing that back to God and saying, God, I thank you for the truth that you have given me, but would you give me a humble heart? That I'd see things the way you see things. That I would recognize who you are. That I would address you as the God who is most high. And that all my life would be under that. And he's got some changing to do in me. But when we see him for who he is, we'll declare like King David did, this amazing declaration. And I'd like you to read this with me. It's taken from 1 Chronicles. It's a phenomenal passage. It's a little bit long, but I want you just to read it out loud with me. But I want you to understand this. This is read to God. So I want you to see him for who he is and read this back to him. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. We adore you as the one who is over all things. Riches and honor come from you alone, for you rule over everything. Power and might are in your hand, and it is at your discretion that people are made great and given strength. O our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Do you see him as that God? You see, if I can go through a day without dependence upon God in prayer, I'm an extremely proud person. If I can run into the day and not seek the counsel of the Most High God from His Word, I am a proud person. If I can talk to people and hear their pain and I don't care about it, I'm a proud person. Have you received abundantly from God both spiritual and physical blessings? If I've received those blessings and I don't return to Him a portion that He is worthy of, I'm an extremely proud person. Everything we have, we receive from Him. He is worthy of our tithe. He is worthy of our praise. He is worthy of our service. And He is absolutely opposed to the proud person. I don't know about you, but I'm going to tell you something. I want grace. Yeah, I want grace. Grace is great. That's what I want in my life. I don't want God's opposition. I want grace. And if you say that's true of you, then there's only one way to get it. He says, humble yourselves under His mighty hand. God gives grace to the humble. And nowhere in Scripture do we ever find God come to anyone and say, you know, you're humble enough. Never seen it.
And yet Daniel was a man walking with God in humility. And he was called upon by the power of God to deliver a message. And he delivered it, didn't he? Can you imagine standing before the emperor of the world and tell him, "You're done. You're fired." He did that with complete confidence and authority. And you know what? God speaks through humble, Spirit-led servants who boldly honor God. That's who God uses. You want to be used by God? Become a person who's willing to say, I will be humble. I will let God speak through me. And whatever God says, I will speak. Daniel did that more than once, bringing bad news to kings, didn't he? He did not hold anything back. He was humble. He didn't consider his own life as his own. He willingly laid it out there, as we will see when we get to Daniel 6 after Christmas. When you're humble, your own life is not what matters. It's the glory of the Most High God that matters. And God will speak boldly through humble, Spirit-led servants. Do you know God well enough to be His spokesman? Do you love God well enough to be His spokesman? You say, yeah, I like the sound of that. You know? Every person on this planet has been put here with an expiration date already stamped on them. And it is followed by an appointment with the Most High God. Is that the truth? And the handwriting is on the wall. And you've already read it. And you know what it says. Are you willing to speak the truth to those around you? Speak humbly. If we don't speak with humble compassion, we are not speaking for the Savior. What does it say? If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but do not have love, what? It says I am a noisy what? That sounds nice. Is that what we sound like when we talk to people about God? He says, speak the truth, but he says, speak the truth in love. That's the only way they're going to recognize that it's coming from the Father. The handwriting is on the wall. It's very, very clear. It says this. Read it with me. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved and your household. You and your household. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved. That's what the handwriting on the wall said. What else does it say? If you will not, you will experience judgment. Humility is a choice to see ourselves for who we are and to see God for who He is. It puts it all in perspective. And the Most High God is the ruler over this realm of mankind. So what is your response to Him? What is your response to the handwriting on the wall? If you're here this morning, if you're listening to my voice and you have never put your faith in Jesus Christ, today I would invite you to humble yourself before the Most High God and say, Lord, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. I believe He died upon that cross to pay the penalty that I deserved, and that You raised Him from the dead. So please, Lord, save me. That's a pretty simple prayer, isn't it? Lord, save me. If you've never prayed that, the handwriting's on the wall. I'm inviting you this very morning to say, I will humble myself, and I will ask God to save me. Have you ever done that? in just a moment, I'm going to invite you just to come and we're going to sing a song and say, I will humble myself before all these people. I will honor the one who's willing to save me. I will come. And for some of you, that day was a long time ago. But you can wander from the Most High, can't you? Well, God will never leave you, but we can leave Him. Where are you at? What is the trouble that you find yourself in? Is it health? Is it job? Is it the relationships? It could be dealing with parents. It could be dealing with your children. It can be dealing with your spouse. It can be just dealing with yourself. Are you willing to humble yourself before the Most High God and say, I've wandered away. I've been lost. Bring me on home. I want to find my way back to you. The handwriting is on the wall. What is your response to what you've read? Let's pray. Father, you are God Most High. And we sit and stand before you here today. And our very life breath is in your hand, and our ways are all before you. You know the sin of our lives. And you sent a Savior for us. And so we come this morning to acknowledge our need of Jesus Christ as Savior. And we say, Lord, save me. Save me from myself. Save me from my sin. Save me from the penalty that I deserve. And save me from my pride. It causes me to wander away from your word and to think more highly of myself than I ought to think. Father, we come to you this morning and we give you the praise because you are worthy of that. So save us. Change us. Would you make this congregation a congregation of great boldness in this dark day? That we with compassion and humility would declare the handwriting that is on the wall. Judgment comes, but forgiveness is available. Thank you, Father, for the hope we have in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.